one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Please, to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. I've been thinking about this question: do children profit by the mistakes of their parents? Or maybe another way: do children usually turn out to be about like their parents? I think you know the answer. Yes, they do, except they're usually a little worse than their parents. That's just the way it goes. There's just a declension and a decline over a period of time. And, I don't know how to put this, but man in his worldly intelligence has bred up everything but man. He's bred him down. Man thinks he's smart because he can take a Santa Gertrudis cow and humpback Brahma, and they cross them up And, you know, I've wondered just about man's monkeying with what God made. Say what you please. Well, they said they made bigger ones. I wonder if they made better ones. I don't think you can improve on what God made, boys. I think we got a generation of smart alecks monkeying with a bunch of stuff running up in space. They better stay out of it. Listen, did you know the Christians are the only people on earth that God promised that they could go into space? Amen? Didn't he tell us we'd go through the rapture? We'd be right, all right. And he already practiced on Enoch, didn't he? And so I tell you something else. Now, we've done a lot of things in our generation, but we've wound up weaker and more wicked and nearly about worthless. I'm talking about a generation of people. Have you ever noticed the ruby red grapefruit? That's man-made. You know that? But everybody said, oh, I like those red ones. Just want the color, huh? I just like the white one's the best one. That's the way God made it. Man, he doesn't want to take anything like God gave it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to improve on it. No, you're not, smart aleck. You can't improve on it. I tell you one thing that I found out. He never has been able to improve on the sunshine.
Amen.
And he took off for the moon, but ain't nobody planning on going to the sun, because I've been to him. Capital S-O-N. But they don't flow with that big ball of fire, do they? Nobody up there walking around on that. But you see, man, and I'm going to talk to you about a man in the Bible tonight. Fact is, two of them. Both of them turned out to be smart alecks. And God put the hooks on them. He's going to get all of them. He's going to get every one of them. Everybody that turns his back, sticks his fist in God's face, he's going to get every one of them. The Bible says God sits in the heavens and just laughs.
Amen.
He laughs at the foolishness of man. Can you imagine God in his majestic way said, just look at that little poor little thing down there. Little old smart aleck. Oh, brother, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, and we're not going to be there now, but the Bible said when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they chose them wives of all which they chose and pleased. And the Bible said from that union, it looked like they bred up a strong race, because it said, men of renown were born unto them. That means important people. I mean giants. They were giants. But I tell you, that brought the end of the trail for the world, didn't it? You say, you really believe that Noah built an ark? Sure. You believe that the whole world was soaked in water? Sure. You believe everybody died outside the ark? Sure I do. Anybody believe it? Listen, you can find marine life or the sediments or the results of marine life on the top of the mountains. Boys, you know that, don't you? You think one of those fish decided to take a walk across the sand, climb the mountain, and didn't make it back? Huh? No, I tell you how you got to be floated up there.
Amen.
I believe everything's in this book. That's the reason I can't go by these little books I've been writing about, how to run a home. Brother, God told me how to run a home.
Amen.
We run these homes there just like my dad run his home.
Amen.
I mean, my dad, he taught me, and he hadn't even finished high school. He taught me how to run a home. And I found out one book. This is your home book right here.
Amen.
This is the only book right here that you'll ever need to run your home.
Right.
And did you know one of the things we're facing? They are 100% against Bible discipline.
Right, that's right.
I'm 100% for it.
Amen.
They will not accept Proverbs as the book for building a home or disciplining children. And yet that's the only one we've got to go by. Now then, in the face of the fact that everything else has failed but the Bible, aren't we a bunch of foolish people in America by forsaking the Bible?
Yes.
There was one book that made America great and set that old flag with the eagle on top of it. There was one book that did that. There's one book that gave her the red, white, and the blue, and that's the Word of God.
Amen.
And we sang a little song.
That's right. Mercy, mercy, Lord have mercy. Our flag is falling down.
You say unpatriotic? No, the flag would never fall if everybody practiced what I preach.
Amen.
I'm a flag bearer, not a flag burner.
Amen.
I believe in what that old flag stands for. And they can cut me off the radio, and they can whack me down, throw me in the jailhouse, charge me $5,000 fines. They can do whatever they want. But brother, let me tell you something. I can go to jail wrapped up in the American flag and know that I have violated the flag.
Amen.
I could cover with it every night. That's what they cover the soldier with, isn't it?
Sure.
I went up and buried a veteran, and the men were out there from the military. They folded up Old Glory and put it on his casket. And then they folded it up and gave it to the mother, to the wife. I tell you, we've gotten so far away. We talked to you about a couple of men, father and son. Daniel chapter 4. First man's name, Nebuchadnezzar. He's the man that raised up the image, you know. He built a big image. And he sent out a decree. That's legal. He said, everybody, when they hear the music, the dulcimer, the harp, the sackbut, and the various instruments, when you hear that music start, you better start bending your knees. And so the law, the decree, was publicized, sent out, and there's a couple of three boys. The fact is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Little old Jew boys they brought over there from captivity and brought them into his captivity. And they'd been taught to bow to one and only one. And when they got the announcement, they told them, said, now, when y'all hear the music, see, you'll bow like the rest of us. They said, no. You know, have you ever thought about it? Sure was a few of them that didn't bow, wasn't it? Man, that's a small group. That's what makes you look so silly sometimes. They came and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, what in the world do you mean? Said, did you understand what the music meant? You said that we were supposed to bow and to bend to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. We never have bowed to anything except God. Amen. Mother and Dad taught us we just bow to God. Well, they said, now, you're not with Mother and Dad now. You're in a strange land. And we can tell you one thing. When that music starts, you better bow. You'll either bow or burn. The little boys looked up and said, well, get your fire ready. That's courage, isn't it?
Amen.
Oh, I know. We look back at that, you know, like, well, that's back in, way back in the days of, I know it. But we ought to have the same kind of courage right now.
That's right. Amen.
This business said, rather be red than dead. I hadn't.
Amen.
I'd counted a privilege to die, not for just that flag, but that one right over there.
Amen.
I made a statement the other night when the Lord kindly blessed us, and he's talking about me being a millionaire. I am a millionaire, but I'm separated from my assets for a while.
Yeah.
I'm in one place, my assets in another. But I guarantee he'll be there when I get there.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about money. And I'm not talking about white-faced cattle of Black Angus or Sandy Gertrudis or Charlays. I'm talking about little girls and boys and men and women and dope addicts. Hey, by the grace of God, that's my assets.
Amen.
That'll be permanent. And that'll be yours, buddy. You won't have any.
Right.
So Nebuchadnezzar, he prospered and he got along real fine and he got proud of it. Of course, that's what kills every nation, every individual, breaks up every home, pride. And it's strange how people can get older and still have pride. Old people can be just as, I mean, they're just as stiff-legged as a billy goat. They're just so proud, you know, and they feel like, well, look what I've, look, what have you done? And that's exactly what God, let me listen to him a minute. And God sent a preacher to him, or sent a man to him by the name of Daniel that interpreted his dream. I want you to notice what he said. He said, this is the interpretation, verse 24, chapter 4, 424. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know. What are you going to learn? That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Now, verse 27, we're going to come upon a tranquilizer. You don't think the Bible offers a tranquilizer?
Amen.
Everybody running races for tranquilizers. Drugstores doing a landslide business selling dope. Rich men have to take tranquilizers and sleeping pills to go to sleep. Work so hard during the day and so worried when they go to try to go to sleep they can't get relaxed. So they, I know I've talked to them, have to take two or three sleeping pills every night. Sedatives to put them to sleep and stimulants to wake them up. Come on. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee and break off thy sins. By what? Righteousness. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. There's your tranquilizer. You want to be tranquilized? Brother, get right with the Lord.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Drugs are too high to buy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I couldn't go to sleep, and had to buy me a bunch of sleeping pills. They cost so much, I then couldn't go to sleep at all, worrying about what I spent on them. Man, drugs, Medicare's just running plumb out of the world, hadn't it? I remember the time we used to go, we'd go to the hospital, and we could get any sort of special nurse for about $8 a day, you know. That's right. I mean, $8 for 8 hours, that'd be a dollar an hour. Ooh, my daddy thought that's, of course, I was baling hay for 75 cents a day. She's still making a lot of money compared to what I was doing. I mean, hospital room back in those days? Why, brother, it'd just be a few dollars a day. Now then, did you know that some hospital rooms are $100 a day?
Right.
Can you imagine paying somebody to lay in a sick room and die, give them $100 a day, let you die there?
Yes.
Man, I don't want to die that bad, you know it? I could understand if you could get well and be made well, but I tell you what, somebody called and said, Brother Olaf, one of my friends, you know, had to go to Houston, and they was operating on the operation. The little operations, they don't last too well, you know that? I think if they ever operate on me again, I'm going to make them guarantee it.
Yeah.
I said, now if it don't work, I want my money back. Yeah. And they open heart surgery. He's way up yonder, you know, and oh, my friend, he's a great guy. He's a wonderful Christian. I've known him through the years, one of the best friends I've got. And he said, I'm going to have open heart surgery. So he said, pray, call me. I said, sure, man, we'll pray for you. We need men like you. Soul winners. I'm telling you, he's won people to Christ. I'm telling you. And so then he called me here, I guess a year or two later. He said, Brother Olaf, I'm in Houston. I'm in the hospital. Pray. I said, what's the matter? He said, they're operating on an operation. But he said, the other doctor said he wouldn't touch it. He didn't tell me, but the friends wrote me and told me, said they gave him 10% chance to live. And so this big heart specialist, you know, down here in Houston, I mean, he's the world's best, I guess. And I said, what's he going to do? He said, man, I'm going to take my heart plumb out and scrape the back of it. I guess had barnacles on it or something. I don't know. And so I said, man, you know, yeah, he said, and he said, ooh, he said he's going to cut me all the way down my leg and take out one of the arteries and the veins. And I don't know, I guess, you know what I told you about this business of heart trouble? You're not having heart trouble, you're having pipe trouble.
Yeah, right.
What y'all do is call a plumber. That's when they get stopping up on you. Did you know that? You have blood clots, huh? That'll get you. Blood clots, Oh, they got a lot of funny names, they call it, you see. And they talk about having a coronary. No, you had a pipe stop up on you. And that's what's going to happen to you when you don't take exercise. You eat a bunch of old cooked, greasy food and starches and sweets. You don't take enough exercise and you don't drink enough juices. And I tell you, one of these days, God's going to teach us a lesson one way or the other. And man will not learn in good times. He'll have to learn in bad times. And we're not far now from hunger. There's no cry like the hunger cry. I mean, it's that the hunger talk speaks a universal language. And we've been talking about the people on the mission fields and little children that rake up in the daytime. I mean, in the morning, they just pick them up dead all over the streets. And the missionaries come back and tell, that's fixing to happen to America. You know why? We kicked the Bible out. The religious liberty and freedom is gone. And we kicked the Bible out of the schoolroom. No prayer. Now then, you can't have anything they can't sing any Christmas carols anymore. You can't mention Christ anymore. I'm glad our pilgrim forefathers didn't find out about that.
Amen.
I wouldn't have had any place to get born.
Right.
Well, what did he say? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 30, here it is. This is the beginning of it. And it's strange. Old Daniel told him about it, and he still wouldn't do it. He didn't pay a lick of attention to him. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Just look what I've done, please. No wonder he built him an image. He said, anybody as great as I am, they ought to worship me. Bow down, please. If you don't, I'll throw you in the fire furnace. That's old Nebuchadnezzar. Well, are we facing similar things today? Did they ask Brother Wolf to bow to the image?
Yeah.
Same thing. Can't you see that? I mean, you're dumb and blind if you can't see that. They said, bow! When we write the rules, I said, I can't. I bow to one book, and that's the Bible. And that happens to be the King James Version.
Amen.
I don't bow that little piecemeal deal that had that filth in it called the Living Bible. I could turn in a decent person on earth against that if they read that one verse. It's too horrible and filthy for me to read. As I said, my daddy would have whipped me for a half a day if I'd ever said what that Bible says. I wouldn't even repeat it. You'd have to look at it to see it yourself. And that ought to wind you up on what they call the Living Bible.
Amen.
And I say again, boys, I'm just standing along with that old flag over there called Old Glory. We never would have thought about rewriting the Constitution if a bunch of peckerwoods and theologians and so-called preachers hadn't said, we're going to rewrite the Bible.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today is, Do Children Profit from Their Parents' Mistakes? Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3328. Include the call letters to this radio station and also today's date. To help us cover shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10. And the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. If you'd like to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507.
Through all eternity.
Our special offer for the month of April is Oh to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, ask for offer number 310. That's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.